everybody. I'd like to welcome you to the Established Facts episode number 4. Today, in our versus topic, we are talking about classic card games, things such as Rummy and Euchre and Uno and those type of things that we grew up on, and things that you just, well, when there's no electricity and you have the candles and you have to pass the time, versus the collectible card game era and the things that are your trading card games like Magic the Gathering and Yu-Gi-Oh! And the Ultimate Fighting System. Today I'm joined by a bunch of guys. We're going to go to the left this time, starting live via satellite. We got
Derek Knudsen.
This is Big Don.
Again, in front of the host as normal, this is Josh.
Rygar or Jeremy.
Since he was going backwards. Tony.
Awesome. And I, as always, am your host. I am Mike. We are gonna break this down. There's a lot of classic card games.
Are you telling me there's a lot?
No, I'm saying there's only one. And your parents have just altered the rule so you lose every time.
Oh.
Hey, Josh.
That's awesome.
You just lost the game.
Oh.
House rules?
House rules, that's right.
House rules. That, yeah.
Legally cheating.
That's right.
Now, last show, we talked about the difference between console games and PC games. And we established that we are WASD or not. So I'm really excited to see what we're going to establish out of today's topics of the classic card games versus your trading card games and collectible card games. And real quickly, we're going to go around and establish what everyone feels on this area. And I'm going to start it off. I am a classic card game guy. I enjoy the Euchre and all that it is, even though my parents don't make me lose, unlike Josh's. Tony.
For me, I'm kind of torn because I have played trading card games, Magic the Gathering, and a couple of others for a long time, and I've also been a pretty decent Euchre player, but, I mean, primarily, I guess I would have to, if I have to sway one way, it would be trading card games, classic card games.
For me, classic card games.
I'm going to have to say classic card games as well.
I think I'm going to be the official fence sitter of this episode because I love both of them so equally well that I really cannot decide what I like more.
And Smite.
That's right.
Yes.
Derek.
I'm going to say trading card games.
Well, as I look at my tally sheet down here, it looks like we are heavily outnumbered. On the side of the classic card game.
We don't know what they're missing.
Wrong.
It's even split. No, it's not. With Mr. Fenceman here.
Oh, well, you should talk.
Actually, classic card games should be 3. Classic card, and he said trading if he had to sway, but he's split also.
Right, which I count the ones that sway towards classic card games.
Which means classic card games should be heavily winning. You just said we were losing.
No, you didn't let me finish.
Oh.
Jerk.
You act like you're the host or something.
You put me in this position.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Moving along.
Tell me... Tell me why you stand on the ground of the trading card
Where's
game.
Where's my shoe? We need a boot to the head.
The reason why I go with the trading card game is that I feel it's a much richer experience. You can do a lot more with the cards and so forth than you can with, say, Euchre or poker or so on and so forth. I view trading card games as a logic puzzle because of how each of the different abilities on each of the cards interacts with one another. So it's interesting even just to build decks. Aside from actually playing them as well. So I just believe that's a much richer experience.
Jeremy.
Actually, I'd like to add to that. Dominion is a game that recently came out. And my goodness, that game is amazing. And it's entirely around the deck building aspect.
But see, now I would question on that. Is that really considered a collectible card game? Or is it, which it is because you buy and collect certain things, but... It's not about, I don't really know how to say this. They don't release, like, multiple editions of it per se. It's just
they don't release Dominion. They don't release boosters for it.
Well,
yeah. It's you buy here's Dominion as a box, and there's five other Dominion games that are completely different but play together. What does that fall under?
That
falls under a deck building game.
I would just consider it to be a card game. It's not really even. I wouldn't consider it to be a classic card game or a trading or collectible card game in any way.
At Gen Con this year, I know Fantasy Flight was putting out a couple of games that were of this style, and they when they were advertising them, the genre of game they were dropping those into was you know, Resident Evil had one, and it said Resident Evil, and then underneath it said a deck building game.
Oh,
so
they're the living card games. They're essentially it's almost like a mid ground between a collectible card game and just like a normal card game. In my eyes, if I were to define a collectible card game, I would say it's a game that has that gets released in sets. So new cards come out every, let's say, 3-6 months or so or forth, and you are able to buy random booster packs. So that's a collectible aspect of it, that you can't get all the cards just by buying a box. You have to actually hunt for the cards. That's how I term collectible card game.
Gotta catch 'em all.
Yeah, Pokemon.
So, Don, I know you have some pretty extensive history in the collectible card game genre. Do you think, as you look at the genre of collectible card games, do you think that hurts or helps the draw to that genre, being able to have not being able to get everything out of one shot?
I would say, I mean, kind of having... You know, I started playing collectible card games in probably 94, 95, whenever Marvel Overpower was actually the first collectible card game I ever played, and it came out in the early to mid-90s, and, you know, before that I was a console gamer or whatever, but I would say that there is a draw for a player to have an advantage over another player. They know that I can go out and I can buy several packs, or I can buy several boxes, and whatever I pull in that pack or in that box could give me an advantage over the other players that I am competing against. So I think that obviously there is a significant draw, because if there wasn't, there wouldn't be as many collectible card games out. I mean, you've got Magic the Gathering is probably one of the more popular ones that I can immediately think of. It's been out since 93. You know, it's a long-lived collectible card game, which is actually very rare, it seems like, in the collectible card game realm. There are tons and tons of collectible card games that are released year after year after year, and only so many of them actually catch people. You know, we had World of Warcraft, the card game, and it's not a dead game, but it's not as popular of a card game here where we're from, compared to Magic the Gathering, compared to Yu-Gi-Oh!, compared to Pokemon. I think even Derek could probably attest to this. The Universal Fighting System, it's still a fairly new collectible card game compared to some of those other ones.
Yes.
But it's not, for some reason, it's just not, it doesn't seem to be as big of a staple collectible card game in our region as it is in other places.
It's big in the South. I know Atlanta is it's huge. I also know that in the Northeast it's huge.
Right.
And it's one of the... You either are a Magic or you're a smaller trading card game.
Right.
WoW had a huge draw at Gen Con. And they... I mean, they had like a major room off to one side, and
right outside the main hall.
Yeah, exactly. And there were lines and stuff out there for it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, there are lots. If you go by any of the dealers in the exhibit hall, you see boxes and boxes of WWE
trading card game.
Raw deal. Yep.
Raw deal. Versus is another one that is really fan supported right now, but I mean, you're not going to touch Magic at this point. Not even like Naruto or Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh come close to it.
Actually, one of the other collectible card games I just thought about that probably a lot of people don't look too far into, but has been a staple collectible card game for quite some time, is Legend of the Five Rings.
Wow.
I mean, it's been around for a long time. I don't know if they are still releasing sets of it, but I know that, I mean, it's definitely a very popular sect of role-playing, but it's, you know, at one time it was definitely a pretty big, hardcore trading card game.
Well, Now that I know we've put a lot of conversation into the collectible card game, I'm going to finally jump in here for the classic card games. I never could really personally get into the collectible card games. Initially, it was because I really wasn't big into acquiring a bunch of stuff just to have to go through all that. But I can't really claim that as much because I have plenty of D&D minis to completely nullify that argument. So I won't use that. But I will say on the classic card games, for me at least, because I've tried playing Magic the Gathering, I haven't tried Universal Fighting System, I've looked at WoW a little bit, but when it come to classic card games, it was a lot easier for me to understand. Because you grab a 52-card deck, and you can pretty much pick up any game within a certain amount of time. Me personally, Euchre, 5-card draw, and Texas Hold'em are probably the three main games that I play. If you are from Indiana and you don't know Euchre, you go find somebody and you find out how to play Euchre.
That's right.
Because the majority of people, if you're just looking for something to play and the only thing you've got is like a buck, you can go pick up a deck of cards and you can sit down and you can just play. You can play with a bunch of people. You can play with just yourself with a game of solitaire or something along those lines. But for me, it's about ease of use and being able just to pick up and go. And that's something that when the collectible card game, you have to worry about what's the right set, right combination or whatever to win. Whereas when it comes to classic card games, yes, you have to worry about the right combination most of the time, but the cards are always in the deck. Unless you just are horrible about keeping that deck. Try to play a game of Euchre with missing 1-9 or something like that.
Definitely to piggyback off of what Josh said, I'm a huge advocate for traditional playing card games. You can ask a lot of my friends, probably half or most of the people on this panel. My wife and I have a tendency to like to collect unique styles of playing card decks. We've probably got 20 or 25 different styles of just bicycle cards. And, you know, we play games like Cribbage. Cribbage is like a wonderful two-player game. Spades, things like that. Again, Euchre. Euchre is definitely a very strong regional game. I know that, you know, obviously there are places in Illinois and Ohio and in the surrounding area from us that play Euchre, but I don't know. I don't know any household that doesn't have a member of their family that knows how to play Euchre in Indiana, anyway. I totally agree. I think that the fact that you can walk around with, I mean, and you can even, like you said, you can go to the dollar store, you can buy, you know, a deck of cards. Heck, you can go to the dollar store and probably buy a two-pack of cards for a buck. And, you know, and you're set. You can go anywhere with as many people as you want, and obviously you don't have to collect, you know, four Ace of Hearts for your deck. You can, you know, there's no limit to the amount of games that you can play with it, too, because there's so many games out there that can use multiple decks, or like in Euchre, you only use 24 cards out of the deck. Pinochle, Bridge, things like that are, you know, very similar to that, too, so.
Well, see, like, for me, like, I think of, like, I keep coming back to using classic cards. Plus, if you're doing things and you need a game to play, it's easy to go to just about any gas station in existence and find a deck of cards. And then I keep coming back to our camping trip, and we used playing cards to play an RPG game, to play, I think it was D&D, and because we didn't have our dice. And we used high-low strategy to play that. And I mean, it's just like the classic style card games, and it's easier to adapt, it's easy to pick up, it's easy to create your own stuff. But on the flip side, there's a lot of collection aspect to the trading card games and trying to find the various things, and deck building is huge in most trading card games, just to try and outsmart your opponent and find new ways to thwart whatever they're trying to do. And even with tournaments, it's even big of trying to make something that's universally able to stop anything your opponent's going to do to try and beat you. So that, I mean, it's a lot of just trying to figure out your strategies and whatnot.
I can't help but think that some of this could be perhaps driven based on era, that the classic card games just appealed or were associated with things that were popular to people, parents and their previous generations, and that somehow all of that's playing into all of this.
One of the things that I mean that you get from collectible card games you don't get from traditional games is when you're the experience starts when you're opening your pack, and you don't know what's in that pack. So it could be good cards, it could be medium cards, it could be some mediocre ones, and you open it up and you're like, oh, cool. So it's like opening up a present, I mean, is how I
with new card smell.
With new card smell, yes. But I mean, with the traditional card game, I mean, you're going to get, you know what you're going to get. But with that, the experience starts from the very beginning, and so.
Just to kind of build off of what both Jeremy and Derek were saying, I think that there is something to be said about sitting down and cracking open, you know, a new booster box and being able to go through all your packs, and it almost seems like just the limitless, you know, effects that you can have on the game with the cards that you're pulling from each random pack. It's kind of just like you said, Derek, it's kind of like opening a present and having that anxiety of, oh, what am I going to get? You know, there's just something really cool about that. But I think that one thing that really links the two together is the mentality that you have to be a successful card player in general. Because, I mean, really, other than the game style, because I think there's a huge difference between being a gamer and being a gambler, I think that there is a huge likeness to having a mentality of like what a pro poker player would have and what a pro collectible card game player would have. You know, somebody who's on the pro tour with Magic the Gathering or any other card game for that matter, you know, you have to have that same style of confidence that any player who's doing it professionally would have. And I think that's definitely something that both a traditional card game player and a collectible card game trading card game player would have.
They're also their own separate markets. I mean, the traditional playing cards obviously cater for this target audience, and the trading cards target this audience with their shiny cards and what rare am I getting.
I think another thing that I think we're kind of talking about, what we're kind of not talking about, is the availability. You know, we talk about that. He talks about that the trading card game is targeted to a different audience. Obviously, I'm not going to take Magic the Gathering to my grandparents and try and teach them to play Magic the Gathering.
Absolutely.
Now, I could try, and I could, you know, my grandparents are pretty sharp. They could probably kind of pick it up. But it's really, I kind of go back to what he was saying. It's really kind of a generational based phenomenon that is of this card game. And I think another thing that we're kind of talking about and we're kind of not talking about is the cost price between a bicycle set of cards that you can play merely thousands of games with one deck of cards and the price of that $4 booster pack that you get 15 cards that you're not sure to get anything that you're going to use. And it's if you're going to be a trading card player, you are invested in what you're doing. And it's the difference of mindset between a trading card player and a guy who's going to pick up a bicycle set of cards and go to a family reunion. Because if he loses those cards at the family reunion, he doesn't really care.
It's $4.
Where if the guy that spent $45 to get this one rare card, and then it flies out the window when he's driving home because he set it on his his dashboard of his car. He's probably wrecking his car, screaming at the guy next to him so he can dive and save that indestructible car that just got ripped in half.
So, Mike, are you saying that we're avoiding our issues, that we needed to sit down and talk a little bit more, perhaps share our feelings?
Well, don't you know a good psychiatrist?
Yes, I do. Several.
I thought so.
I don't think we were avoiding the issue. I just thought we were talking about, you know, how cheap the bicycle cards were, but we weren't really talking about how expensive a trading card game is.
Oh, it is.
Trust me, I jumped on the Magic the Gathering bandwagon when it came out in 93. I was part of the very first set, that couple sets that came out, but I was right there at the beginning that I picked up on it. And I very quickly realized, while in my junior high age, that I don't make enough money selling my candy bars or whatever I did to try and get that money, you know, to support this habit that I wanted to have. So it was geared for a generation that wasn't even mine, that, you know, at this age, you know, Don and I are very close to the same age. Don is very heavily involved in trading card games. And, you know, like I said, it is a very, very lucrative business.
Mm-hmm. I think on top of that, and I know this is going to kind of deviate a little bit from what we were talking about, but kind of to bring back around from something that we addressed in the beginning of our conversation, I think that's why these new deck building games have become so popular so quick, because you can buy a box of Ascension, which is a deck building game, or Dominion. And you can buy all the boxes of Dominion, you know what I mean? And you can have an infinite possibility of gameplays in the game where you're spending, you know, what does a box of Dominion cost? 60 bucks or something like 40. That? 40 bucks. So you're paying half or less than half of what it would cost for a booster box for most collectible card games. And you're getting a game that you can play over and over and over and over again. And not only does it bring you a very similar aspect of the deck building that you would do in a draft with a different collectible card game or trading card game, but it also has that longevity that you don't necessarily have to buy the newest booster pack in order to stay current with what you have.
It also, well, another nice thing about Dominion is with the strategy, and you're really only playing with essentially 5 to 7 cards. And, I mean, you throw those in there, and there's a strategy. It's, well, how am I going to use these 7 cards to make a lot of money? It's an interesting concept.
I think the collectible card game may be the in-between point for us classic card game players and our trading game card players. Because I actually like the collectible card game thing. I have. Dominion was a lot of fun when we played it. And Flux, I absolutely love the game Flux. I think a lot of us are really big fans of Flux.
Thanks for bringing both of those up.
Munchkin is a very fun card-style game.
All collectible card-style games. Because
Ninja Burger's another
one. Because it brings both parties kind of to the table. You can easily teach Flux to a classic card game player, as well as a trading card game player. Yeah. And I think they were really smart in doing that. I think the same thing, the Red Dragon Inn, but all three of those.
Oh, my gosh.
Another style, not quite. It's more
such
like a board
awesome game.
But it's also collectible cards like that as well, but it's deck building as well. Yeah. So it's interesting that, of course, we decide we're going to do trading cards versus classic cards. And as we're talking, the deck building game comes up as well. Yeah. So it just goes to show that as much as you may plan for a podcast, you're going to forget something before you start, so it happens.
Apples to Apples is another very fun kind of party-style card game. Again, it kind of deviates from what our original theme was between collectible card games and traditional card games. But yeah, if we're kind of deviating for a second, talking about kind of crossover games, Apples to Apples.
Uno.
Yeah, Uno. Uno's
classic.
Uno's kind of a classic game in itself,
yeah,
but yeah.
I consider that classic.
But Skippo and
yeah,
and
both of those. They were their own kind of own style of card.
That's true.
It was just one of those things you were able to remake into a classic style deck.
Absolutely. Michael, do you have
as we come to the end of the show this evening, we got a few minutes left, but I just wanted to also when you look at those games, your classic card game, you generally have one goal. You have to accomplish X to win the game. Generally, in your classic card games, you know, euchre is the first to 10 points, or rummy is the one with the highest score wins.
War.
My card is higher than your card. Suck it, blue. You know.
What do you say, Donut?
it's another thing altogether when you have a trading card game, because it really, you have to be more of an intellectual player to play this kind of game, because not only is there a goal at the end that, man, I really need to be able to beat this guy that I'm sitting across the table, but not only do I have to do it and keep myself alive, I have to find these combos, or, you know, there's a strategy within the strategy, within the strategy, within this turn, within this card that I'm playing, that you're trying to build this network of cards or players or whatever that you're using for this trading card game, that it just is, you are so involved that you are intellectually invested in your deck. You know that if I pull this card and I have this card in my hand, the combo is going to be complete and I am going to smoke that guy. But you also know that if I don't draw the right color mana at the right time, I'm pretty well, you know, trying to go up the creek without a paddle.
There are
so many different ways to win at a card game, at the trading card game. Like, you can deck your opponent, you can kill them outright with a life total. There are just a lot of possibilities there.
Or pull a Rhaegar and just tip the table over.
Hate this game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness.
No, I totally agree with you. I think the nice thing, kind of where I feel like we've all kind of gone, is the nice thing is there is a longevity in classic card games that you're not going to find in a lot of trading card and collectible card games, at least if you play competitively. But go ahead.
I think when we first started this the podcast in episode one, if you go back and you listen to it, Don alluded to some of the games that we play as gateway games. And I really think that your classic card games are literally gateway games.
Oh, yeah.
To other card games.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are a lot of classic games that we would consider to be classic games that are those gateway games that people don't necessarily, you know, like we said in the last episode of the episode four, I don't remember. But I really do have that mindset that every person has a little gamer in them, and they have to figure out what game it is.
The gnome.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, the treasure troll or whatever you call it.
It's a Happy Meal toy.
Yeah, the Happy Meal, the Smurf.
It's the gamer gnome.
The gamer gnome. Okay. So I think that games like classic card games, classic board games, Monopoly, Life, Stratego, Risk. You know, those are definitely I would consider them to be gateway games. You know, it's not a far stretch from going from Monopoly to playing Catan, you know, and then going from Catan to playing who knows what. But yeah, absolutely.
I think that what it is just it reconnects us to our inner child. I think that most of our lives, especially as we grow up, get into school, go to work, is just so serious all the time that we sort of forget how to play. And so those games like Monopoly and so forth, the games that lasted, those are the ones that I believe teaches you how to reconnect with that.
That's a good place to leave it. Our versus topic tonight was about classic card games versus the ever-evolving realm that is the trading card game or your collectible card game. So I'm going to leave you with this thought from the Established Facts and the panel of guys. Grandma and Grandpa don't tap the Ace of Spades, but the new card smell is worth its weight in coins.
Wow. Oh, I love this game.
Good. Later. Bye.